You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Faggy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Taco Tuesday.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
On to Pittsburgh. On to Pittsburgh. Book your bet, OG, right now. The betting line is out. Texans at Pittsburgh, Sunday noonish. Back to our noon. Back to our noon starts. Back to our familiar territory. Maybe that'll be good for the Texans. The betting line is Pittsburgh Steelers favored by 3.5 points.
Ooh, ooh.
Book your bet. Go ahead. Book your bet.
Steelers all day on that right there. Right?
I don't know.
That hook, they always get you with the hook, man. They always get you with the hook.
I don't know. But it is good to see the Texans not a 7-plus point underdog. So that is the good news, because you have now faced, 2 weeks into the season, the top tier of the AFC. It's safe to say there's two teams in the top tier right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Pittsburgh's trying to go from the second tier to the first tier. The Texans are just trying to show that they belong in that second tier. Before we get into that, I want to make you feel better about yourself.
I want to make all
the loopholes feel better about themselves.
Thank you.
Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole, no matter what you do. We love you very much. Best listeners in the city. Hopefully you're staying dry. But they're frustrated in Pittsburgh right now.
They are?
They're frustrated.
Why?
We got a lot of frustrated media types. You hear the Seth Payne promos.
They're
you hear
right,
Sean
though,
Pendergast
they're
promos.
Right.
You heard me yesterday. You heard you yesterday. You heard Clinton Show. You heard Figgy. There's a lot of frustration with the – not that the Texans are 0-2, but with the way stuff has started.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of frustrated media types. But they're frustrated in Pittsburgh as well. And I will lay out my case, because technology for a lot of these – older media types can be a bia.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an absolute bia. And sometimes you can catch yourself cussing when you least expect it. This was Mike Tomlin's Zoom last week. Not sure who this media type is, but you got to be listening right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go online and you can see the picture. At Landry Locker on Twitter. I'm going to tweet it out very shortly. But if you think we're frustrated here, here's some frustration out there in Pittsburgh.
Christ.
Well, live Mike.
Can you hear me? That was not
yes,
me.
Yes, I can.
That was not me that swore.
Okay.
It was.
Said effing Christ. Play that again, Piggy.
Christ.
Can you...
live Mike.
Can you hear me? That was not
yes,
me.
Yes, I can.
That was not me that swore.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. You go with that, and we'll believe the truth. Yes, exactly.
You can look at Mike Tomlin's face on the at Landry Locker on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny enough just with the sound, but you can see his face. So there's frustration going on there, not necessarily with their football team,
but with their
with
Zoom
technology, with technology, with the Zoom. Now we're looking. We're not heavyweights here in Houston. This is not a heavyweight football team. Now can it be a light heavyweight football team? Can it be maybe 10 or 15 pounds away from putting on weight and getting it to be a heavyweight? They're not heavyweight yet, and Bill O'Brien is very aware of that. Yesterday on the Bill O'Brien show, and man, B.O.B. Whew!
Man.
No comment on that.
It's going to be a tough segment for me at 10:20.
Had a little bit of comment.
10:20? Here's Bill O'Brien on second tier. We'll save for that for 10:20. I don't want to run out of gas early on the show.
Right.
This is Bill O'Brien talking about not being in the second tier.
We want to be at the top, but right now we're not. You know, and we definitely played two of the better teams in the league. We're not there yet. You know, hopefully it helps, you know, but I don't think you get much out of losing. But, you know, hopefully these guys understand now, you know, the speed of the game, the physicality of the game, and where we need to be relative to Pittsburgh and moving forward.
Hopefully they understand the speed of the game.
The speed
and the physicality of the game.
What is going on? I mean, I thought this was
the Texans have 50 rookies.
Hold on. There is something.
Cut the music, Figgy.
Cut the music, Figgy. Cut the music. There is something he said there that is a direct contradiction to something he said just a few weeks ago.
Play it again, Fig.
Play that, and then I'm going to say, what is Bill O'Brien's mantra. It's his mantra for the season.
We want to be at the top, but right now we're not, you know, and we definitely played two of the better teams in the league. We're not there yet. You know, hopefully it helps, you know, but I don't think you get much out of losing, but, you know, hopefully these guys understand now, you know, the speed of the game, the physicality of the game, and where we need to be relative to Pittsburgh and moving forward.
The speed of the game, the physicality of the game. Here's the quote. This is a veteran type year. So which is it? Is it a veteran type year, or is it where you're aw shucks, they're just trying the best they can, team is trying to get used to the speed and the physicality of the game? Which one is it?
It depends on the day of the week.
I mean, the Jaguars might be getting ready, used to the speed and physicality of the game, but they're better than you right
what
now. The Jaguars might be getting used to the physicality,
John,
and speed of the game,
John,
but they're better than you,
John,
right now.
Come on. We're going there.
Prove me wrong.
By the way, you can hear the Jaguars Thursday night right here on Sports Radio 610.
Jags Dolphins, Minshew Mania, right here on Sports Radio 610. Prove me wrong.
Got the dog in the background, man.
Come on, dude. You're joking about that.
Tell me how I'm wrong.
Dump that, Figgy. Dump that.
How am I wrong?
Just come on.
We're starting the show off like this.
You're talking
Jazz
about
better
Jags
than the Texans.
Come on, bro.
Where? Okay. I'll leave. I'll open the floor to how I am wrong. Give me some information. Give me some stats. Give me some data. Give me some records, some wins and losses, some points against, some performances. Tell me any of those where the Jaguars are not today. I'm
but
not
the
saying...
Texans played tougher teams, right?
Yes, yes.
We got the better quarterback, right?
Yes.
Don't look at the stats for that.
Just
one.
Don't look at. I was going to say.
Let's just assume that.
No. I'm not saying that. I think that the Jaguars are going to be better than the Texans. What I'm saying is today, the Jaguars are better than the Texans.
713-572-4610 like a mofo.
Show me how I'm wrong.
That is the OG.
The
John
only
Lopez.
Argument you have
at Lopez on Sports on Twitter.
The only argument you have is they played lesser competition. However, they played the Titans.
They lost by 3.
Yeah. And then they won this week.
They won last week against the Colts.
Last week against
the
Colts.
Yeah. That's how that went down. 7-1.
Colts supposed to be pretty good, right?
6-10. We're starting this out with some fire. According to someone,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at him right now.
They played the Colts and the Titans. That would be second tier, right?
Titans for sure. Colts maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And the Jaguars beat the Colts.
That happened.
And Minshew's has better stats than Deshaun Watson across the board.
By far.
And the Jaguars and the Jaguars have scored more points and held opponents to fewer points than the Texans.
That's true.
Yeah.
But again,
so
competition. You're at BOB. They're trying to figure out the speed of the game here in H-Town, in case you didn't know.
In this veteran-type year.
There's a lot of noise around here. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about the noise from media types like myself. And all the fans/loopholes.
You know, it's just, it is what it is. We know that, you know, people probably aren't real happy with us outside the building. There's really nothing we can do about that. Really, we can just come in here and go to work and do the best we can to put together a good game plan and have a great week and go up there and play well against Pittsburgh, because that's what it's going to take.
Now, I wonder if B.O.B. is hearing the noise, because he's aware of it.
Oh.
But in the past,
oh.
This is what Bill O'Brien said last year And I wonder if he is living by this motto.
We're very confident. We're also confident in the fact that we can't control what the outside world thinks. You know, that's, you said it. You know, that's the nature of our business. It's probably taken me a while to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. His comment about they can't, I mean, they can't do anything about it, just go to work. I mean, he's right. You know, he's approaching it the right way. The problem is, the potential problem is, can you do that? Can you really, you know, put out and cancel all the noise and just focus on what you're doing? It's hard. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. John McClain going to be here at 10:40. Leg hiking is going to be fun at 11:20. It is on to Pittsburgh. And hopefully, we know the Texans don't belong in the top tier. Hopefully they belong in that second tier.
Do me a favor.
What?
Open the text board.
All right, I'll look it up in a minute.
No. Open the text board.
No, I'm
just
not.
Just read the first five or six texts, and that's a sample. That's a sample size of all the texts.
The Jags offensive system is better than the Texans right now, guys. As a Texans fan, I think it's easier to be a Jags fan than Texans fan. I watch both Jags games, and they are much better than the Texans right now. Not more talented, just playing better. The Texans are more talented. The Jags are trending up, and the Texans are trending down. There you go. So you're 5 for 5. Congratulations. Congratulations. Did you have programs back in your day? Did y'all have like programs where you'd sing for the parents?
Oh, all the time.
You did?
Yeah.
Because as I was doing show prep yesterday and as I was in the lab, I was trying to like think of a theme song mm-hmm. for Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me back to like my second or third grade program where we sang.
Yeah.
And this song was
I played Jesus. In a Christmas program.
Some irony in that.
go figure, right?
Go figure.
Did you pick that one?
No, the teacher said I should be Jesus.
Well, that's teacher, not a very good teacher. I thought of a song because I think Bill O'Brien wants to belong in the second tier. So I went back to this song, and I think this is the song of the mm-hmm. week for Bill O'Brien. I think this is – I drove by NRG on the way here, and I think this is the song that him and Easterby were singing. Before they watch the tape. Remember, he wants to belong
yes.
in the second tier.
Ask me what I want.
Sing it, Jack.
More than anything.
Okay, what do
I
you
was
want?
So blessed. Really blessed.
I want to belong. I want to fit in.
Well, let me start by saying
I want to believe I'm in with the end.
We're really blessed.
I want to have friends who really care. I want to be me. I want to belong.
There it is. Wait for this one. This is about the noise. You know how he said he's aware of the noise? Bill O'Brien's aware of the noise?
Yeah.
What's this?
What are you doing?
No comment.
Tell me this doesn't make sense.
They
this
want
week.
To belong. They want to belong.
He wants to belong, and he doesn't want you to laugh at him. That's Bill O'Brien's theme song right there. Yep. Fire it up over there at NRG. Fire it up. Forget the
no
young thug this
though.
Week. Forget the young thug on the PA during practice. This is what we're playing all week. Let's go, Texans. Let's move on to that second tier. Speaking of the second tier.
I want to fit in.
Speaking of the second tier, J-Lo,
mm-hmm.
the Texans defense.
Mm-hmm.
is being treated unfairly while the offense is being coddled.
I would not disagree with that.
I am going to defend, fight, scratch, claw for the honor of Anthony Weaver in that Texans defense. I'm going to back it up with stats, and I'm going to react to the words of King Bill himself. You don't want to miss this segment next.
I have feelings too.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The defense is being treated unfair around here, and it's being treated unfair by the man that matters most out there at NRG. Landry Locker, John Lopez, maybe Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Relative to how the offense is evaluated, this defense is being crapped on, and it's unfair, and I'm going to defend the honor through the words of the coach himself, the king, King Bill O'Brien, as well as statistics. I'm fired up about this. I'm very fired up about
this. You came into the office today with that hop in your step.
Very upset. Because I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. I think Anthony Weaver deserves better, and I think the offense needs to step it the F up with all the resources that you've dedicated. Bill O'Brien speaks every Monday right here on Sports Radio 610, 5 o'clock on the Bill O'Brien Show. It's a more candid version of Bill O'Brien. You get a little bit more than you do in the press conference, and sometimes you listen to it and you end up throwing up in your mouth.
A little bit. Yesterday
was one of those days where, as he was saying what he was saying, I could not believe it, and it drove me to a place I did not want to be. Here is Bill O'Brien talking about the Baltimore Ravens and the Texans game and what needs to improve from his team. Now, keep in mind that the defense, the Texans' defense, has gone against two of the best offenses in the entire NFL. And despite that, despite the fact most of the resources were used on Bill O'Brien's offense, the defense ranks ahead of the offense in points per game and in yards per game by just a couple spots, but they do rank ahead of Bill O'Brien's offense. However, here was Bill O'Brien talking about what he feels needs to improve from the Texans and the sequence that he points to as to how the Texans ended up losing that game to Baltimore.
When we come out in the second half, we got to do a better job because we allowed them to drive the ball 9 minutes to open the second half. And so we did a good job at the end of the half where we were able to get the ball back to the offense. Offense did a good job on that drive of getting the ball into field goal range. We were able to, do a situation there that we work all the time in practice. We were able to get that done to get the field goal kicked. And then we have to do a better job when we come out. That's really another area of complementary football that we have to do a better job when we come out to start the second half. If we can stop them there, now you're talking about a potential 10-point swing if you can get the ball back and score a touchdown, to start the second half. So, that's where we got to keep building and try to do a better job.
Okay. So you heard him talk about the second half and the situation with the Ravens and how he felt about that. Let me just take you back to the sequence that Bill O'Brien was talking about, just so you can get more perspective of what exactly he's saying. So at the end of the first half, the Texans, they got the ball with about 106 remaining, and they drove the ball 63 yards in six plays, and they set up for Kyahmi Fairbairn's field goal at the end of the first half. This is what that sounded like, courtesy of Vandy.
With 3 seconds to go in the half. Here's the snap. Here's Fairbairn's kick. Up, and it's good.
Okay.
Okay, so there you go. Texans down 20-10 at half, right? 20-10 is where the Texans are at. They are kicking to the Baltimore Ravens, one of the best offenses in the entire NFL, led by the league MVP.
Right.
Now, the Texans did. The defense was on the field for a long time. They were on the field for 8 minutes and 36 seconds. 8 minutes and 36 seconds. But they held the Ravens
to
a field goal. Yeah. Here's Justin Tucker after the Ravens' first drive with a field goal.
This is going to be a 47-yard attempt for Tucker from the right hash mark. He lines up with 6.5 to go in the third quarter. The kick is up, and it's good.
Okay. Let me just say this. I don't know what Bill O'Brien expects from this defense, but if you told me, if you, John Lopez, told me, first of all, at that point, Baltimore had 23 points. 14 of those points came when the Texans failed to convert on fourth down and the Ravens had a short field and on a Kiki QT fumble in which the Ravens took it to the house. So the 14 of the 33 points that Baltimore ends up scoring were because of the offense. If you told me the Texans were going to hold the Ravens to a field goal and it would be a two-possession game the first time the Texans touched the rock in the third quarter, would you have signed up for that before the game?
100%. A field goal right there is a win. That's an absolute win for your team. And I want to add something in a second, but go ahead and do the next part.
Okay, so Bill O'Brien, and again, he praises the offense for going to get a field goal at the end of the first half, and he criticizes the defense for being on the field too long, despite the fact they allowed just a field goal to Baltimore, and it was within two possessions. So the Texans' offense gets the rock after that, 23-10. They drive the ball inside the red zone, but the offense stalls.
Yeah.
So Bill O'Brien decides that on 4th and 6 from the 17-yard line, he's going to kick a field goal, and he's going to make it a 20-10 game instead of going for it there. Keep in mind, this guy went for it on his own 30 mm-hmm. on 4th and 1. 20-10, is there really that much of a difference between 20-10 and 20-13 in this situation, knowing that possessions are going to be limited? He decided to do that, but congrats to Bill O'Brien. They got the 3 points.
35-yard attempt, right hash mark. A little bit longer than an extra point. Snap from Weeks is down, held by Anger. The kick is up, and Fairbairn kicks it through to make it 23-13.
Okay, so 23-13 there. Right. And you're criticizing the defense for a sequence in which your offense kicked a field goal at the end of the first half. The defense held one of the best offenses in the NFL to 3, and then your drive stalls at the 20. If your offense that is called by the guy that's followed you around for 10 years, if they're able to actually put the ball in the end zone, it's a one-possession game because of the work that your defense did. But Bill O'Brien still, yesterday on the Bill O'Brien show, mm-hmm. criticizes the defense and says the defense needs to get better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was definitely some improvement from the previous game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I thought that the defense, you know, it doesn't look that way on the stat sheet. There was definitely improvement in areas. We still have to do a better job of stopping a run. We have to do a better job of trying to get the ball back, get the takeaways that we've been able to get in the past. But I definitely saw improvement from the defense, no doubt about it.
No, let me interest you in some stats. Let me interest you in some stats, okay? 14 of the 33 points that this defense allowed were because of your offense. A fumble and a decision to go for it on the 30. They held him to a field goal, and you criticized him for it. Could I interest you in stats? Just
please,
to back it up, because he says the stats don't look good for the defense. Could I interest you in stats?
Hit me.
I've already told you that the defense ranks ahead of the offense in both. First of all, they're way behind when it comes to assets invested, but when it comes to points per game and yards per game, they rank ahead. Last year, the Baltimore Ravens averaged 407 yards per game. They had 407 yards mm-hmm. on Sunday. They averaged 201 yards passing last season. They only had 177. They averaged 206 yards rushing, and they only had 230 the other night. Mm-hmm. So 24 more yards on the ground is what the Ravens had, and they averaged last year 33 points. They scored 33 this week. And 14 of that was because of your offense. So don't tell me that the stats look bad for the defense. The defense did everything that they needed to do to win, including hold the Ravens to a field goal at the start of that second half. If you're going to say something needs to improve, it's that raggedy offense that we've seen that doesn't look any different with Tim Kelly calling it. So I'm defending the honor of Anthony Weaver, because I think Anthony Weaver and his defense actually did everything that they could have done against this Baltimore Ravens offense. Bill O'Brien needs to look in the mirror and realize the defense is playing good enough to win. It's his offense that's holding them back.
If you're going to make that argument and you're Bill O'Brien, here's where it falls. There's a giant hole in it. You know, if you're going to say, well, we kick that field goal, we get to 20-10, right? Okay. He said 9 minutes. It was 8.5 minutes. They run the ball for 8.5 minutes in the second half and only get a field goal. If you're going to say that's a loss, because it's not, it's a win. You hold that. You just illustrated their stats and their numbers last year compared to this year. If you're going to say that that's a loss, not a win, why are you going for it on 4th and 1 from your own 34-yard line? Because what you're trying to say is that, you know, you're basically saying we want to lengthen the game. We want to try to just, you know, hold them to less than 3 points. Let's lengthen the game. Let's punt. You know what I mean? Let's punt right there. Here's the other thing, and this is the biggest hole of all. Your offense gave them 14 points. Your offense gave them 14 points, right? Going forward on from the 34 and then the fumble 6. So how are you blaming the defense for holding an 8.5-minute drive to 3 points when your offense gave them 14 points?
You're down 3-0 in your own territory on 4th and 1, and you go for it But then it's fourth and six at the 17 in a 13-point game at the start of the fourth, and you kick a field goal. Explain that to me, buddy. Yeah. Like, explain that to me. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. The defense is being treated very unfairly by Bill O'Brien. I could not believe that he said that yesterday. It's all about the offense. The stats don't lie. You said it looks bad statistically. It doesn't look damn near as bad as the offense. So we got to get that together. It's unfair. I feel bad for Anthony Weaver. But that's just a little bit from Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's show every Monday at 5 o'clock. Let's hear from John McClain. John McClain was at the game on Sunday. He was in Kansas City. Let's hear what John McClain has to say about the Texans and this offense. Is Tim Kelly already in over his head? We'll talk to the great John McClain next.
Pathetic with a capital P.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localizing, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, on to the second tier. Do the Texans belong in that second tier? On to Pittsburgh. John McClain joins us right now. He was in the press box on Sunday. He was in Kansas City the Thursday before that. John, I know you predicted 0-2, but has it been worse than you anticipated in the manner in which the Houston Texans have looked on the field?
It has been. I picked them to lose by 10 in both games, and they lost by 14 and 17, and so I was surprised about that. I thought it's interesting about the defense. I had lower expectations for the defense. They played Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and allowed four small, short touchdown passes, including a one-yarder by Jackson. And the run defense was good for three quarters, then got steamrolled in the fourth quarter. The pass rush improved, four sacks, two by J.J. Watt. So I thought for three quarters the defense played better than I thought it would, especially compared to the performance at Baltimore last year when Jackson threw four touchdown passes and they ran for 256 compared to only 236 in this game, mm-hmm. 153 in the fourth quarter. But the offense is discombobulated. You know, the first game they ran well, couldn't run enough. This game they did not run well. Watson missed David Johnson and Brandon Cooks, who were open. You know, the pass protection was mediocre till the fourth quarter, and then they cut loose on him. So I've been more disappointed in the offense because I thought the offense would be better at this point.
John, they have made it no secret. I mean, he's talked about this is going to be a veteran type year. You know, they've won division titles, but they have to do more. They are going to be better off without DeAndre Hopkins because they're going to be more versatile and more spread out with their wide receivers. And they're not close. I mean, we all know what we watched. How much of a red flag is this in NRG Stadium?
Well, let's see. I'll give you guys some examples. 2018, the Colts started 1-5. Everybody wanted to bench Luck and fire all the coaches, and they rallied and won a playoff game in Houston. 2018, Ravens were 4-5. Everybody wanted Harbaugh fired. He put in Jackson and got a contract extension. And last year, the Titans were 2-4. Everybody wanted to fire Arthur Smith, the former tight ends coach who'd been elevated to offensive coordinator. And now they go to the AFC Championship game. I think after two games against what I think are the two best teams in the league, along with Green Bay, you can't – everybody's going to do it. They're going to think they know what's going to happen over the rest of the season. And in May, maybe they'll finish 2-14 and O'Brien will get fired. But I think as long as Watson's healthy, they got a chance. But Watson has to play better. They got to protect him better. And I think Tim Kelly would be grossly unfair to say he's overmatched after two games against two of the best teams in the league without preseason, without an offseason. He deserves at least through the midway point of the season and the schedule eases up a little bit. Before people start to want to throw him under the bus. Oh, you know, man. I'm listening to teams go, oh, my goodness, the Steelers are 2-0. They played the Giants and the Broncos. What about the Bills? They beat the Jets and the Dolphins, and the Bears have beaten the Lions and somebody. So people are excited about those 2-0 starts. Let's see what they do when they start playing a little tougher schedule. But the thing the Texans have to do, that offense has to be in sync more. You know, Will Fuller was the invisible man Sunday. They were working on his hamstring. Bill O'Brien acted like it was okay. If you're going to trade Hopkins, you better have Fuller on the field at least past the second game of the season.
Now, one thing you've said in the past, we've talked about, I shouldn't just put it all on you, but we've talked about that there is a feeling over there that Bill O'Brien is safe for 2 years. But you just said if he goes 2-14, he'll get fired. You know, is there a number? I mean, is there like a bad record number that you think it won't be 2 years that he's here?
Well, first of all, if he goes 2-14, he will be fired. Okay. Because they fire coaches after they go 2-14. Gary Kubiak was fired after 2-14 season. Dom Capers 2-14, but I doubt very seriously this team's going 2-14. But people, including the McNair family, have high hopes for this season, and they haven't given up after an 0-2 start. There was a lot of people wanting them giving up after the 0-3 start 2 years ago. So, if he had a bad record, say 5-11, mm-hmm. 6-10, I think the McNairs would take a long look at it. And number one thing they would take a look at, okay, if Bill goes 5-11 or 6-10 and we bring him back again, what does that do to ticket sales, suite sales, sponsorships, and all that? How are the people going to accept it?
Right.
And, but we're a long way from that.
No, I'm just curious because, you know, we had talked about it, and I know that's one thing that you've picked up on. And then when you said that, it kind of just raised the antenna a little bit. So a bad record, like an 8-8, you think it's just nothing to see here?
No, I don't think he'd be fired after an 8-8. No.
Yeah.
I think it had to be a really bad record, and they would not have a rash of injuries like they had in 2017. Like if Watson goes a distance, takes a step back, and the season is a disaster, I could see them seriously thinking about it.
John McClain with us here on Tuesday, Sports Radio 610, Pittsburgh Steelers Week. Texans looking to get in that second tier. On the text line, people are just want to know from you, you know, we're talking about rhythm. We're talking about, you know, the short off season. How do you explain that the Jacksonville Jaguars have a first-year offensive coordinator and a quarterback in his second year is already performing at a high level? Is it just, do you just chalk that down to competition? Is it about the weapons around? Like, what's the reasoning there for why the Texans' offense can't get clicking, but teams with new offensive coordinators like Jacksonville are able to do that?
If Jacksonville played at Kansas City and Baltimore, where would they be?
I have no idea. I didn't know. I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and I didn't know I was looking at the 85 Bears defense, honestly. I thought it was about their offense. I thought that was the strength. I know they improved.
I told you the last six games of last year, they gave up 11 points a game when they put it all together. And so their defense last season, 11 points over the last six games. Pretty good defense.
Okay. So the Texans, do you feel like the Texans, it was just an example of them facing good defenses the first 2 weeks? Because I like what you're saying. I'd love to buy it.
I think that Baltimore has a great defense. Kansas City had a great defense the last six games, and then not so in the playoffs. But I think everything about right now losing is about the competition. As far as the offense being discombobulated, no. We saw the offense play great against the number one defense in the NFL last year, New England. So, no, I think the offense is a problem right now. They got too many things that have not come together the way it needs to come together. But your answer about Jacksonville, if the Texans had hosted Indianapolis and played at Tennessee where they won last year, I'm thinking they probably would be 1-1 instead of 0-2 and getting crushed twice. And I'm pretty sure if the Jaguars played Kansas City and Baltimore, they'd be 0-2 too.
Do you think their offense would look as bad as the Texans? Is really the question. It's not that they're
playing 0-2. Against those two teams. Who knows?
I just didn't know it was the 2000s Ravens and the 85 Bears that the Texans were going against. I thought,
first of all, that's ridiculous. They're not as good.
They
as
look
them.
Like
Nobody
it.
Was.
They look like it.
They didn't look like the Bears and the Ravens. I covered those teams. They did not look like those two defenses, which are the greatest I've ever seen, along with a steel curtain.
What if, because you mentioned the New England game last year for the Texans where they moved the rock on the Pats. I mean, they had a guy at receiver in number 10. What if DeAndre Hopkins was just lipstick on the pig of the current offensive system that we're seeing right now, and this is just a sign of the worst being yet to come?
Well, first of all, I think if Hopkins was there, they wouldn't have lost him as bad, but I don't think they would have won him. I mean, he was there when they got beat 41-7 by the Ravens last year. He was there when they got crushed by 20 in the playoffs. But I think that Watson would be more comfortable in this game. He didn't have Hopkins, and Fuller was disappearing, so he didn't have his two best receivers. So, yeah, I think that played a role in it.
What about Herbert for the Chargers, 300 yards passing, a touchdown right off the top against that same Kansas City defense?
They look great. He looked great. That's why they drafted him so high.
All right, so what do you think about the division now? I'm taking into account what we're talking about here, that, you know, the Jaguars played, you know, the Titans and the Colts. They looked much better than the Texans did, and they won one game, which the Texans have not done. Is the division, I mean, not as good or better than you think? Or are the Jaguars better? I mean, well, you know, I can't kind of put those two things together.
Well, first of all, in my 44 years of covering the NFL, one thing I learned a long time ago is you can't base the season on the first two games.
Sure.
But I picked the Titans to win the division. They're 2-0. They struggled to beat Denver, and they struggled to beat Jacksonville. Jaguars are clearly better than we thought. Colts are about what we thought. And Texans are right where I thought they'd be, 0-2. Mm-hmm. But their offense is not as good as I thought it would be.
Are you as pleased, and maybe this is me talking to the great John McClain here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, are you as pleased with the defense as I am? I think Anthony Weaver, with what they've invested on the defense, which wasn't much, I think Anthony Weaver's done a hell of a job. Especially against the Ravens. I thought they held up as long as you could have possibly asked them to hold up. It's his first year as a coordinator as well. Obviously, he's been around and he's been familiar with the system. But have you been pleased with what you've seen from Anthony Weaver 2 weeks in?
I've been impressed at times with what Anthony's done. He's not giving up big plays. Mark Andrews, the tight end, had one catch after having two touchdowns in the first game against Cleveland. The Texans allowed 11 explosive plays, 8 runs and 3 passes, and 5 of them came in the fourth quarter on the run when they were wearing them down with the running game. If Gus Edwards, a backup running back in Baltimore, played against the Texans every week, he'd be in a Pro Bowl every year because he's looked great in his two games against the Texans. So I thought they just wore him down. The offense couldn't stay on the field. The offense settled for 3 field goals, couldn't get another touchdown or two. I think it's preposterous that this offense has one touchdown until they were down 31-7 at Kansas City and had one touchdown against the Ravens. But considering they don't have as much talent on the defense, one of the things I like that Weaver did, he didn't have Charles Menehu in the starting lineup. He started P.J. Hall at right end. Menehu came off the bench, had a sack. Hall played pretty well in those circumstances. He's been one of the biggest surprises on the defense. They had Vernon Hargraves playing the second most at corner to Bradley Roby. They had Lonnie Johnson playing safety a lot. He's now, it looks like, a safety, or he's going to go back and forth. So he's not afraid to move guys around. They started with 5 DBs, and including 3 safeties. So he's already making adjustments, and that's good. And I don't know what else he can do about the run except play it against Pittsburgh the way they played it for 3 quarters against the Ravens. Pittsburgh still likes to establish the run and first, and I'm guessing that Pittsburgh doesn't have backs as good as the Ravens and Chiefs, that they'll do better against the run because in their last 11 games they're giving up 170 yards rushing. So I'll go out on a limb and say they're not going to give up 170 yards rushing at Pittsburgh.
Does the offense look different to you?
different? No, it looks the same. They can't consistently protect Watson. Now, it looks different at receiver and running back because they have new players. But as far as strategy and things like that, no, it does not.
Well, wasn't that supposed to be part of the, you know what I mean? With Tim Kelly, maybe they're going to fit Deshaun Watson better. Deshaun and Tim Kelly both talked about their great relationship and they spend so much time together. Maybe they'll be able to do more and various things, but it looks kind of the same.
It does look the same. You're right.
So wouldn't that be a problem?
Hell yeah, it's a problem. The offense is not playing the way it should. Sure, it's a problem.
John, what did you think about, because we gave you a lot of credit last week. You gave us a very, very great talking point. What did you think about Bill O'Brien's notion that he was pleased with the tempo of the offense? Because Trent Green this week during the broadcast was criticizing the tempo. The numbers back up that the tempo was in the bottom half of the league in the second half against Kansas City. What was your reaction? Because you asked Deshaun about it as well, to the and you asked Tim Kelly to the notion that he was pleased with the tempo.
I was going writing a story about the tempo and how they got the plays off slower when they were down in the second half than they did the first half. And as Kelly pointed out, tempo's based on who you're playing down in distance, Matt missed the things you're trying to take advantage of, but that's a fact it did. And I tweeted, I think early in the fourth quarter, if I was Tim Kelly, I'd go with a no huddle here and tell Watson make plays. And because the offense is not playing the way it should, And it's no excuse on the offensive line because all five starters back, tight ends are all back. And I would try to just play faster. Maybe it's too complicated. Maybe there's too many things Watson has to do at the line of scrimmage. I remember last night they were saying that Saints need to pick up the tempo here at the end of the game with 5 minutes left, and they didn't do it. But I didn't expect them to say our tempo was bad. But I didn't expect any of them to say it was good. And to Kelly's credit, he didn't say it was good. You know, what he said, I was writing about the tempo. Randall Cobb came out, was really good, said we were bad. We were bad all around. And so I moved. I wrote about that because I thought those were the most accurate quotes I'd seen about the first game. And then Kelly said, you know, we got to do the things that need to be done where we're not bad all around, when we asked him about Cobb's comment.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. Could we see some changes in the lineup when the Texans take the field on Pittsburgh? We'll get into some potential offensive changes as well as the defense next on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.